listening to It's Confirmed with Tomiko Torres, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, happy Tuesday, guys. So glad that you can join me again here on Tuesday. People are lining up, getting ready to hear some good old juicy Tuesday news, or maybe sip on some Tuesday tea. I'm not sure, but whatever it is, pull up a seat, get your ears wide open, because we have some things to talk about. First, for starters, you know, I was going to have a panel set up so we could revisit the King Hill story. You know, the missing two-year-old from Philadelphia that mysteriously the body was never found and he just vanished like a ghost in the middle of the night. We're going to revisit that story, but I'm still working on the panel of people to come on to have their say of what they really think happened to King Hill. Being as though we have overwhelming evidence that supports that, you know, King Hill may still be around, maybe under another alias of some sort. People have been sending a lot of emails. They want to know. They want to know what really happened to this baby and did he really get dropped off? We got some footage of audio from Tiana Parks from the beginning of the case that has to be heard. So I'll keep you guys posted when we're going to do that so you can just have your input and, you know, really side with who's guilty or not in this situation. You know, is the baby really deceased or is he somewhere in kindergarten right now? Should be 5 years old. So these are the things that people want to know. And, you know, I have to be the one to share the news because, you know, my listeners, they're on top of it. You know, they're better than any private detectives out here. And I give them a lot of credit for still wanting to know what happened to baby King Hill. And by the way, guys, Tiana has a waiver hearing, a trial waiver hearing, coming up sometime August, September, to prove her innocence, to say, listen, this is what happened. You say you got all this murder evidence against me. Put it up or shut up. Listen, guys, this girl's fighting hard. And I can see why, because, you know, when you're innocent, you like to fight. You like to fight hard. But going down the road of toxic relationships, I tell you, I got a phone call today, guys. A young lady, she actually has been in contact with her ex-boyfriend. This guy has a shady past of doing shady business. You know, he was a car salesman at one time. He actually rolled over on his car associate, affiliate, someone he did business with, and said, you know, I want to be an informant. You know, he makes the decision. Nobody gave it to him. That's his choice. And there's nothing wrong with being an informant, okay? But you have to inform people of what you do, not just, you know, he did this, she did that. You have to say, this is what I did. And some people don't want to say what they did. They just want to talk about what other people did. So he becomes an informant. And then he survives because a lot of informants, as you can read in the paper, the longevity of life expectancy is very little to none because the people that you end up telling on, they know who you are because now your name has to be released. You have to get on the stand and put up that right hand and say, I know, I know, I know. He said, he said, he said. I saw, I saw, I saw. So a lot comes with being an informant and working on the other side of the fence. So you have to know who you're working with and who you're working for and who you're working against. Because all these things come back to haunt you later on. So this guy with the shady past, you know, he finds his way to another meaningful life, ends up getting married. The wife actually doesn't know who she married. You know, she thinks she's married this guy, he's a great guy, and he can do no wrong. You know, he's a great provider. Until one day, he says to her, well, I need to use your name. And of course, being married, what do? You let your spouse use your name because you're married. You're one. You're considered one. So you do these things when you're married. So he uses her name. He flips some bad houses in her name. Of course, with the help of an attorney. You know, you can't do these things alone nowadays. Long behold, he becomes a sex slave to the attorney. And this is his new lifestyle. He's like, I'm untouchable now. You know, I'm a CI. I got this attorney on my team. Anything happens, she can forewarn me. She can protect me. A little down the road, this attorney does some bad things. And what does she do? She starts, first of all, let me backtrack. I know what it takes to get through law school because I'm a law school graduate. And for you to abuse that power and waste it on useless energy, such as committing fraud, you know, in the interim, you are crossing too many lines because, you know, when you take that oath, you swear that you're going to do the right thing. But in this particular situation, this attorney crossed the line for her handsome new love toy, and she began doing criminal deals just to say, I'm with the in crowd now. Mind you, this attorney was also a married woman, okay, with kids at home and a lifestyle. She was a reputable attorney. And this woman created driver's licenses. She created fraudulent deeds. I mean, this was her new lifestyle because she got involved with this gentleman who's a handsome guy, by the way. So she was misled by his looks and figured he was the one for her. So she had to be with the in crowd to be in his circle. Long behold, she gets indicted. She gets charged. She loses her license to practice law. And then she says to the world and everyone he knows, she basically publicized it, social media, anyone that called her, anyone that reached out to her, she said, he set me up. So basically, he was still working the other side when he set her up. He was making all of this money with this attorney and basically set her up to say, okay, I'm done with her now and I'm on to someone else. You know, and she really had to revisit her life and say, I made a mistake. So these are some of the things that people can get caught up with if they're hanging out with that in crowd of criminal behavior. You know, because you got to stop and think and say, this is not for me. This is not my life. You know? Now this guy moves on. He has a wife. He's cheating with the attorney. She's cheating with him. You know, it's a love circle, love triangle, which could possibly turn toxic if either or is found out about. So now he has the wife, he has three children, he has the attorney, she gets busted, she goes down the river for 9 years, she loses her law license, and then he runs back into an ex-girlfriend. The young lady that I spoke to today, he runs back into her. And come to find out, she's trying to figure out, well, why is he staying at my house? He came to visit. He said he wanted to visit. He's actually staying at my house. I thought he was coming to visit for like 2 or 3 days. That's what she says. And little did she know, he was there for like a week. And she's trying to figure out, well, what's going on? Lo and behold, he actually borrowed $60,000 from some street guys that are actively looking for him, that are active shooters. I don't know who the shooters are, but the message has been delivered. as to that. So she's afraid that if she actually hangs out with this guy, that her life could potentially be in danger. All because he's not willing to tell her the truth. And throughout all of this stuff, this guy who is, I would say he's a con artist. I would say a con artist would probably fit his schedule, because he didn't even tell her about the domestic violence charge he caught when he was with a girl that he, guys, you're never going to believe this. He actually went to Vegas with this lady and did a fake wedding. Like, who does a fake wedding nowadays? You know? So he does a fake wedding, has this young lady thinking he's all into her. He goes and does a fake wedding in Vegas and considers that a promise to her. Like, I promise when I'm divorced, I'm going to marry you. So this fake wedding is my promise to you. Guys, I mean, I'm not the brightest bulb, but I'm lit. I'm just trying to figure out, how do you do a fake marriage? You know, it's not making sense. It's just not making sense. Some women who are down on their luck will accept this type of in behavior from a grown man. You know, had it been a young man, 18, 19, 20, I'm going to Vegas, I'm going to marry you, or let's say late 20s, because, you know, sometimes men don't mature. Why in the world would you accept a man giving you a fake marriage to say that this is my promise to you? It's not like he gave you a 10-carat ring and said, hey, I want you to be my wife. This is my promissory note to you to say, I'm going to marry you. You accept, what does paper cost today? 5 cents a sheet, 3 cents a sheet? I mean, you go to Staples, it's 3 cents a copy. Black and white, okay? So you're giving me 3 cents of value. This is what I'm valued at. 3 cents for you to say that you love me and you promise to marry me. There's no big rocks. There's not even an emerald. I mean, gee, you can give her an emerald. It's worth like something, you know, bubblegum ring, silver, whatever you want to do. But a 3 cent sheet of paper to say that I am promising you that I'm going to marry you. That is the lowest of the low for any woman to accept. And guys, I tell you, you men, you have a way of enabling women into some of the weirdest situations. And I'm not going to be biased, because people know that I don't play the role of, you know, taking sides. But in this particular situation, I got to say, guys are very crafty today. You know, they're swindlers. You know, they will sell you on a dream and you'll believe it. And you don't even ask for any proof, ladies. You don't even say, let me run your credit. You know, prior to me getting married, I had to run my husband's credit, because I had to say, if he has bad credit, what do I want with him? You know, you can't have bad credit and say you want to be married as a grown man. And thank goodness for him, because he had the question of, is this going to be a deal breaker? And I said, absolutely. If you have bad credit, we will never get married. Lo and behold, mind you guys, there was no faking a credit report with me. I had my people at my bank run that credit, and I said, okay, you're in. You get a pass. Love has nothing to do with finance. And people, for some reason, they mix the two up, thinking that it's somehow marriage, finance equals us. Not true. It's been an old cliche of finance without romance. Oh, no, romance without finance is a nuisance. And I never really understood it, because I read it. And I never really understood it until I see some of the things that are acceptable to some women. You know, some women got to realize Men will throw you an illusion of things. And hey, vice versa. Women will throw you an illusion of things. And you have to say to yourself, is this real? Am I going to go for the okie doke or not? You know, they call it okie doke, I guess, because it's fiction, you know? And people have to take a stand for themselves to say, this is what I am going to accept, or this is not what I'm going to accept. Okay? And this leads to toxic situations. It leads to domestic violence. It leads to verbal, mental abuse. Because people have to be who they say they are and do what they say that they're going to do. If people could live by that in their lives, you would see a big change with the domestic violence going around. Because the first thing is people always say, well, he lied. I didn't know he was married. I didn't know he had someone else. You're finding out later because someone's calling your telephone. Someone's knocking on your door. And you're saying, well, I never knew about you. Miss, did you ever ask yourself why you can't call him after 8 p.m.? Did you ask yourself why on holidays he's never available? Did you even ask yourself, why haven't I been to his home? Why can't I go to where you live? I'm always been to his boy's house. Did you ever ask yourself those questions? Or guys, if it's a female, why am I always meeting her at a hotel? She's always meeting me at the hotel lobby. You know, when are people going to wake up and realize that this is much bigger than them? I'll tell you about a situation that happened just over probably a month or so ago. Okay, here in New Jersey. This is a Google searchable article. A young man got involved with a young lady. And his name is Joseph Valenti. Okay. And the girlfriend is Lena Radwin. I can talk about it. It's public news. Okay. And he believes her story of my ex-boyfriend did this to me. He threatened me. He beat me up. He did all kinds of stuff. Something like the Amber Heard with Johnny Depp. He beat me up and she put on makeup to like cover all that up, you know, to say this is what he did to me. And I'm a victim of domestic violence. Okay, same situation, different people. This gentleman, Joe, being Joe, he actually goes to the ex-boyfriend's house. And what does he do? He busts the door down, not knowing there was a dog in the house. And he actually stabbed the dog up. And looking for this ex-boyfriend, because he's a new guy and he wants to show her he has muscles, you know, so he puts himself in jeopardy, all based off of a lie that she concocted and said, he did all this stuff to me and look at me now. And you're my new man and you're supposed to go there, stand up for me as your woman, take charge and beat him down. So guess what? They're caught on candy camera. Mind you, the guy has cameras in the house and he has cameras on the outside of the house and the Ring camera catches them breaking in. Craziness, right? And all they can hear is on the audio, because for some reason the video part got cut off, but they're witnessing this poor dog being stabbed. You know, he wanted to kill the dog. He wanted to put his foot down, make his presence known. Now he has a whole slew of animal cruelty charges, which he's going to have to eat. You know, they're very tough on it. Like, you do something to a rat in your house today, a roach. Listen, animal cruelty is coming for you because they're animals. You know, they can't fend for themselves. So if you wonder why the landlords don't want to get rid of roaches today, you know why. They don't want to go to jail. It's animal cruelty. You know? Roaches and rats have rights too, and people have to acknowledge that. You know, they think because it's not a pet, it's not a dog, it's not a cat, it's not a, you know, a zoo animal, that their lives don't matter. You can't go around squashing roaches anymore. People, put your shoe back on. You can't do it. Not allowed. You have to set baits for them and trap them. The mice in your house, you have to set traps for them. You're no longer allowed to break their neck on a mouse trap. Do you know that mouse traps are almost extinct right now? Because they consider it cruelty. Cruelty to the nuisance that's eating your bread, breaking in your bag of chips, leaving, you know, their human waste all over your kitchen countertop. This is actually a crime for you to kill these bugs that you may have hoarding in your home. You know, they're chewing up everything. So you can't kill them today. You have to trap them and set them free or either dispose of them properly. So, you know, fly swatters are almost extinct if you people are really paying attention. Remember, everybody had fly swatters. You could buy two for a dollar. Now, this is like a luxury item. It's $7.99 for a fly swatter. Okay, now they have fly sticky tape. So now you can let them stick to the tape and you're not actually killing them. They're just sticking on the tape, starving to death, and dying that way. They want more of a natural death for these insects. You can't just kill bugs anymore. Okay? So animal cruelty charges are really harsh in every state. You know, it's like some states, you know, people get away with some things. It's cool. It's fine. But in Philadelphia, New Jersey, Connecticut, New York, insects are collectible items. People do research. Doctors do research off of cockroaches because they have something in their shell that they actually produce medicine out of, antibiotics mainly. So that's why they're so against killing these bugs. You know, there was a shooting in Philadelphia. No surprise. It's like Chicago. Like you say, I'm in Philadelphia. People think you're not in Philly. You live in Chicago. You know, the way they're running rampant and going crazy. A young lady walked up to a guy. You know, she's talking. She's got some hand movement. And she blasts him in the stomach, like out of nowhere. And then she casually walks off like, okay, and now what? Who's going to do what? And she's smoking her cigarette. They got this woman shooting the guy in the stomach, walking off with her cigarette, puffing it in the air, going to a store after that, like it's nobody's business. This is what I'm doing, and who's going to do something about it? Long behold, her identity has been revealed. An arrest warrant has been issued for her arrest, and they are still looking for Miss Casual and Cool about just doing a shooting. It's a war zone in Philadelphia right now. You know, people, it's very sad to see that, you know, they have this big thing on Black Lives Matter. And all you see is a group of Black boys, teenagers, young men, if that's what you want to call them, jumping out of cars like they're in the Wild Wild West from, like, you know, Indiana. You ever seen Indiana Jones? You know, like they're just walking out of the cars like nothing matters to them. No respect for human life. They're just walking up to people and they're assassinating them. And I say that because I know there's listeners, and I know there's a lot of listeners listening to me today. Okay. And hopefully they'll take this message back and they'll spread it, you know, like wild gossip. What's the difference? And ask yourself this question. And let me see if you can answer it within yourself. What's the difference with Al-Qaeda coming here, blowing up people, all kind of craziness, assassinating people? What's the difference between them doing it to Americans and Americans doing it to other Americans, especially the black on black crimes? It's an act of terrorism. So why aren't these villains, first of all, you got a 13-year-old, 14-year-old out here doing a shooting. You should be automatically charged as an adult. No mercy. Let you cry your tears out. Go to prison for the rest of your life. Sit on death row. These innocent people that's just sitting on their porches, getting their lives taken away at the hands of terrorists that are in Philadelphia. What is the difference with the MS-13? What is the difference with the Afghans? What is the difference with what's going on right now in Russia that's being held accountable via sanctions for all the bodies, all the lives that were taken? Why aren't there any sanctions going on for, let's say, the local PD that's in charge of viewing all the cameras in the city? Why isn't it repercussions for them? Somebody's not doing their job. Oh, the cameras don't work. Whose job is it to make sure that the cameras work? But instead, they want to deliver Ring cameras, 50,000 Ring cameras throughout the city, where now you can get footage of what goes on in these areas, but you won't fix the main cameras that can view 30 blocks down the street from north, east, west, and south. All different angles. Okay? I know about the cameras. Okay? I know how they work. And if they were adamant about doing something to help save these children, but you know what happens, people? Nobody ever wants to do anything unless it affects their life directly. That's when people want to take a stand and say, oh no, this is illegal. Guns need to be banned. You know, the mayor of, I think it's Harrisburg, he wants to set his own rules for guns in Harrisburg. He wants to be the one to dictate what comes in and what comes out. And I agree, because guess what? The big guy upstairs is sitting beating on his chest like a caveman, having a good time on the beach right now while these innocent lives are being taken. Soon, race will be extinct. It'll be like dinosaurs. You'll have to go to the museum to actually see what an African-American person looked like and how they lived. Because they're killing off the generation, young, old, newborn. They don't care. They're taking these guns. They're shooting them off like they're experienced shooters. They're snipers. They've been through training camp. They've only experienced being snipers in their community. And I say this because people are allowing this to happen. It's really sad, because if you can charge an immigrant, such as myself, as they want to say, with crime and then deport them, America has treaties with different countries. What gives that American that's committing so many crimes here, what gives them the right to continue to stay in this country? Sounds like a little bit of greed. Sounds like America wants to keep that power and the money in their pockets, building more jails, more prisons here, when there's millions of other prisons in other countries that can comfortably house these terrorists who are committing these terrorist acts. But until it happens to one of the higher-ups, guys, I'll be right back. Let's take a commercial break.
Are you looking forward to sell your house in Philadelphia at a fair price, but are just not patient enough to go through the long, delirious process of enlisting your house in the market? Well, look no further, because GBuys Philly has got your back. You can sell house in Philadelphia without going through the trouble of navigating complex sales procedures. We specialize in helping property owners just like yourself in all sorts of burdensome situations. We pay a fair cash price and save you all the stress and inconveniences of damages or repairs. We will buy your home. Fast, easy, and convenient. No commission to realtors. No home inspections. Cash deal equals no mortgages. Property as is. No repairs. 100% fair offer guarantee. sell your house fast for cash in Philadelphia. So what are you waiting for? Just contact us now at www.gbuysphilly.com. Experience, honesty, and integrity guaranteed. Remember, G Buys Philly.
Hey guys, listen, I just got a message from the producers of the show. It's almost 15 million people on listening today from the East Coast to the West Coast. Incredible, incredible crowd. But until someone does something, because you can listen to me every Tuesday, until someone does something about the gun violence where they live, and I'm not saying go knock on your neighbor's door, you know the shooter, don't confront them. Not saying that at all. I'm just saying, if you don't want to lose your next loved one to the hands of an inexperienced, untrained shooter, then you have to sit there and you have to endure and think, when will my family be the next target? You know, I'm not saying that crime doesn't happen ever. There's some sort of crime. There's always someone who wants to be, you know, crazy for no reason. But what I'm saying to you is, take action, be proactive in your community. You know, see something, say something, okay? Don't you miss hearing the kids riding their bikes outside every day? Nice days. These kids are trapped inside. Don't you miss hearing the kids play and they're full of laughter and kids getting to be kids? And that's where this system is lacking. You know, I spoke to a young lady today as well who she wants to come on the show. And I said, you know what? My listeners need to hear from you, because I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth. You know, she came out of that broken CUA DHS system, you know, and from group home to group home, running away, you know, finding herself in the bad hands of strangers, being sexually assaulted, you know, and she's here to tell her story today on how she left those group homes because that wasn't a place that was safe for her. She only felt safe at one place, and that was at a Catholic church where a group of nuns had taken her in and gave her guidance. And this is what made her the young lady she is today. But she wants to tell you her story on how the group home's staff was even molesting her friends and herself, and how she didn't have a voice and she couldn't fight, because this is where she was sent. And the opportunity that she got to run away, that's what she did. You know, people don't know what happens with these group homes, these foster homes. These people are ordinary people. Just because they can pass a background check doesn't mean that they're good people. There's police officers out here today with that suffer from mental illness, but they still have on that suit. And they still wear that badge proudly on their chest, like they're mentally sane. When as we all know, you know, a lot of them are not mentally sane, and they should not be on the force by no means necessary. Because you're dealing with people, you're dealing with children, you're dealing with immigrants who sometimes don't speak English and can't have a voice for themselves, and they have to be subjected to the turmoil of someone that is supposed to be trusted. And that's the key word here. Someone that's trusted. You know, you put your hands and your faith in trusted people. Like, you know, the pastor that was molesting the young boy that, you know, he's moving around from church to church. You know, that was on the show last year. You know, you trust your child with the pastor. Penn State, they trusted their kids with the coaches. So you got to be really careful on who you trust in your inner circle, because sometimes people will befriend you just to get into your household. Okay. Remember Joe being Joe, wife 215. And I could go on and on and on about the stories that we've talked about here. But it will go to show you that you have to really be diligent and you have to be involved and you have to look for the warning signs, because people don't look for warning signs. They just see what's in front of them. And that person is presenting their representative. So you're going to believe everything that representative has to say. And this is what makes you vulnerable to saying, I trust them. I trust them with my life. And a little before you know it, this person has cut your throat, drained out your own blood, and you're sitting there trying to catch it with a pan because you can't believe that this person just stabbed you in your neck. And it happens. You have best friends killing best friends over what? Oh, I was in love with his wife, so I got to get rid of him. Or it could be the woman, vice versa, of, you know, the whole domestic thing of sleeping with your husband, and then now she thinks that he's her husband in her mind. You know, just craziness. You know, just craziness. But I tell you, there was a situation where it was toxic, and it wasn't a relationship toxic. It was a landlord-tenant toxic, you know, and this was, you know, during the pandemic. And unfortunately for a lot of people, they weren't privy to unemployment. They weren't privy to PPP money. You know, they weren't privy to none of the freebies that a lot of people got illegally, which depleted the funds a lot quicker. You know, FEMA rental assistance, you know, these criminals that were helping apply for and be compensated for lies on an application. You know, this was all done during the pandemic. So a young lady, she had it out with her landlord, and she basically told the landlord, I was not entitled to any of these freebies that went on. I'm a struggling mother with three kids. And you see, I go to work every day. It's hard for me because during the pandemic, this young lady was not working. This young lady lost her cool one day when the landlord approached her and said, I want you out of my home because you owe me rent and you have not made an attempt to pay it. The tenant lost her cool. She got tired of this landlord badgering her, which she should have just not taken matters in her own hands. She should have went to the courts. But of course, during the pandemic, the courts were closed. She should have found another way, because you don't know if today is going to be your day. It depends on the person that you're dealing with. If they woke up on the wrong side of the bed today and said, that's it, I don't want to live anymore. I don't care what I do. You know? She actually gets her the tenant. She goes back in her apartment after the landlord's at the door, and she tells her, I've had enough of you. And she chops the landlord's head clean off of her body. Okay? She's in a state of shock. She does not know what to do. Okay? The only thing for her to do, she drags the body into her apartment. She chops the body up in tiny little pieces with her machete. And she disposes of the body all around New York. From Long Island, Riverhead, Brooklyn, Queens, Manhattan. They found this woman's body parts everywhere. The head, she put in a dumpster that was like two blocks away from her home. And they actually found that during the routine garbage dump day. You know, so toxic situations can come about from someone just having a bad day. So people have to look at all the other things that your neighbor could be going through. You know, there's some toxic situations going on right now in the streets of Philadelphia. okay? And it's not just Philadelphia. It's Chicago. It's Miami. It's New Jersey. It's New York. It's called paying your rent. And when I say that, it's you have to rent your block if you're going to sell narcotics. You can't be on the block and say, I'm just out here. I'm going to hustle. I'm new to the neighborhood. I see what these guys are doing. I got better products. If you don't rent your block, you will have repercussions from it. Okay? And I'm not condoning in any way people going out here being promiscuous and renting blocks and saying, now this block is mine and your name is on the street sign. I'm never going to condone that. But what I'm saying is, if you're going to play the game, you're going to have to play by the rules of the game. And if you're not cut out for the rules of the game, then this game is not for you. People need to get their kids involved with more activities. That way, by the time they get home, they're exhausted. They don't even have a chance to think about illegal activities. So they really have to think about some things moving forward. You know, this drug game, you got a 13-year-old being murdered, slaughtered, body left on the street. People ever think about, why isn't there a mother on the news crying about her 13-year-old son that just got gunned down and shot up 24 times by multiple different weapons? 13 years old. You know, people don't think about that and ask questions. You know, where's the mother? A lot of these kids are coming out of the system and they're runaways. And now they're adult kids. And now they are creating terrorist behavior and they're not being properly punished for what they're doing. Oh, you're a terrorist. You go back to your country. So your sentence will be death at that point. It's not like in America where you get a choice. You want the electric chair? You want the electric chair? Well, we got the firing squad. You have options. You get 3 meals and a cot. This is what you get here in America. And you make your 10 to 20 cents an hour. People need to think about this. I don't know if their concern for life is just zero at this point. And you make choices and you have to live with those choices. And you have to say to yourself, where did I fail as a parent? You know, a lot of parents and kids, I've heard this many times. The kids don't blame the parents because they're like, okay, my mother was 12 when she had me, or she was 14 when she had me. What do I have to really look forward to? Do I have a parent that's going to send me to college? Some situations, they turn out well. And I commend those parents that grow up to be adults and take care of their responsibilities. But for the parents that's just out here carelessly, you're 14, you had one kid. You're 15, you're on your way having another one. Roe versus Wade has been overturned, people. This should be an eye-opener of what is really about to happen. There is going to be a lot of babies out here. It's going to be overwhelming, all because people chose not to have a voice, to stand up. Let a woman's right be her right. If she can't afford to take care of the kid, give it up for adoption, who's to say that someone is going to adopt that kid? People have preferences today. Your kid may not be the preference that they're looking for. That's why when they go to these IV, centers that do the implant for fertilization, they get to pick. You want curly hair? You want brown eyes? You want green eyes? You want light? You want brown? You want indie? Like, you get a choice. When you put a kid up for adoption, there is no choices. You have to take there or not take it at all and say, I'm going to pass on this one because I don't feel a connection because I don't like the way that baby looks. What about all the drug addicted kids that are going to be born whether they were meant to be here or not? This is really serious, and it goes to show that America is not really America anymore. You know, people are not taking up and taking a stand. You know, I hear all the stories because I don't know anything about Black history. Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, everybody doing these walks and fighting for rights. You know, Coretta Scott King, who didn't want to sit at the back of the bus. Everybody talks about all these rights that they fought for. Now, people are going to be forced to have an unwanted child. You know, if people look at the history of Roe versus Wade, they will see where Roe actually came from. It came from a mother that was a rape victim that had to have that kid anyway. She gave birth to that young lady, and that young lady is devastated that Roe versus Wade was overturned. So now you're going to have babies being left on the sidewalk, babies left in the trash cans. You're going to have babies everywhere. People may lose their minds. You're going to have a lot of these young girls delivering in the school bathrooms and leaving the baby in the toilet. These kids are going to be so careless because they're so interested in intimacy that they're going to be reckless. What about the world of prostitution? These women should not be conceiving any kids during their line of work. They may not even ever find out who the father is. And what happens to the kid? The kid gets left somewhere in a trash can. It's going to be babies everywhere. What are they going to do at that point? When these kids are being born, biblical cords still attached, are they going to look and track down the mothers? It's going to be like crime in Chicago, looking for a needle in a haystack. Because everybody will be delivering babies and leaving them somewhere and not on the church doorstep. Because the next thing will be for the church, we have no funding. We have no way to take care of these babies. It's going to be literally a mess in the United States of America. They got groups saying that they will fund women to have abortions in other countries because you will not be allowed to have an abortion in America. Like, they're already setting up shop so you can fly out if you can afford the airfare. That's another thing. If you can even get a flight out, a lot of flights are being delayed. They're not happening. Try us back next month. So these are the things that's going on in America. People need to have a voice. People need to wake up. People need to say something. Don't forget, I'm still working on that panel for King Hill. I have reached out to some people that were heavily involved during his disappearance that want to be on the panel, want to have their say. Guys, I look so forward to seeing you back here next week, Tuesday. Hey, it'll be July something when I'm back. Check that out, guys. I look so forward to seeing you guys on. Thank you for joining me today. Tommy Torres signing off. Same bat place, same bat time. See you next week. Have a good, happy holiday. Bye now.
You're listening to It's Confirmed with Tomiko Torres, only on LA Talk Radio.